down with the Sfiras Omer. So, there are a lot of very good topics to speak about in Parshas Emor. We have the halachos of the Kohanim, which are the beginning of the Parsha. And of course, we have the Parshas HaMoadim. You can speak about any of the Yomim Tovim. But given the time of year that we're in, I tend to like to speak about various aspects of Sfiras Omer during Parshas Shmuel, Parshas Omer. I want to just take this opportunity for the first time in 18 years to welcome my father back to Yeshiva Shalavim. You should know that my first year here, he came on a Saturday night, he slept over, he survived the mattresses.
I still remember it.
Spent time in Shir the next day and learned with us, so we're happy to have him back to learn together with us. But he's not allowed to ask a question that's too good or too hard. The pasuk in Parshas Emor and Parakhaf, the psukim, the very well-known psukim, tell us the basic mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. We count, it's known as the Sfiras Omer, known that of course because we begin the day of the bringing of the Karban Omer. And we count, Shavo Shabogo Smiro Sena, we have to count 7 weeks. And the very important qualification for the purpose of our shir tonight is that that count, the Shavo Shabogo, must be Tmimos. It's hard to know how to translate the word Tamim, it has different implications in different contexts. We have Yaakov Ish Tam, we have the Tam in the Haggadah. Sometimes it means pure, sometimes it means complete, as we'll see here, but that's the very important qualification. The Gemara and the subsequent poskim very much zero in on that word. Ad Rimachos HaShabbos, how long do you count? Ashvias, until the conclusion of the 7th week, Tisperu Chamishim Yom, and on that 50th day is when you bring the craft and Minchas Hadash Shel Hashem, which we know, of course, is the Karban of Shavuos. So, in light of that introduction, there are many, many discussions in the Gemara and in the Rishon and the Poskim about the various halachos of the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. Despite the fact that it's, you know, on some it's not a holiday, so to speak, it's not the biggest mitzvah, the most important mitzvah one might have thought, but there's actually a lot of discussion, a lot of lumdus that surrounds the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, and the basic location for this discussion, at least in Shas, is in the Sechta Menachos, which of course relates to the Karban. So there's a lot of discussions of Sfiras Omer and all the halachos about that, and they, parenthetically, or agav, are going to relate to our discussion, which is the additional mitzvah of the mitzvah of Sfira. The Gemara in Menachos and Das Samach Vav, as is darshaning, the various psukim in our parsha and other places in the Torah that discusses the Karban, wants to know when three things happen. And it's really the relationship between two of them and the third, which is our discussion, which is what's relevant. There's the Katsira of the Omer, there's the harvesting of that crop for the first time, then there's the bringing of the Karban Omer, and then there is the accompanying mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. There are three different things. And the Gemara has a Havamina in the first line, Yad Af Samach Vav, Yachol Yitzar Yispor, the Emasai Shiyirtza Yavi. Is it possible that there's this very specific date and time when you are kotzer, when you harvest the wheat, the yisbor, and you would count, but in theory you could bring it any time? No, that can't be. Tamalomer miyom aviyachem. No, there's a specific date for when you actually bring the karban omer. I miyom aviyachem, but from that pasuk, yachol yikser v'yisbor v'yavi v'yom. Is it possible that you do all of these things, bring not only the bringing of the karban, but harvesting and counting on the day, the second day of Pesach, in the daytime? Tamad Lomar, no, from our apostle, our parsha, Shevo Shabbosos Timimos Tiyana. You know, we know that at least the counting has to be Tumim. Emasai Tamoti Shevo Shabbosos Timimos. And how can you fulfill the requirement underlined of Timimos? Ismanch Atamatil Dimanos Miba Erev. No, you have to start counting in the beginning of the 16th of Nisan. If you don't start counting until the day of the second day of Pesach, and you've left, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours, whatever it is, overnight, and then you're no longer in the fulfillment of the requirement of Tamimos. So therefore we know that we count from the night. Yochel, Yitzor, V'yavi, V'yispor, V'layla. Is it possible that you do everything, including bringing the carbon during the nighttime? Tamalomar, Miyom, Haviyachem, Haketzad. How do we resolve this all? Kitsira, the Sefira, V'layla. They harvested the crop, and they counted Hayom, Yom, Echad, on the night of, which is you're familiar with, in Israel, we count the first day of Chol HaMoed, or if you're in Chutz La'aretz, you count at the second Seder, or a Shul the second night. But the Hava, the actual bringing of the Karban, is brought during the day, which is why we know what is the big Isser, which is an elephant in the living room, so to speak, not all related to our topic directly. What's the big advantage of that Karban? What becomes permissible? A new crop, Chodesh, and that's not permissible until you bring the Karban the next day. But the Ketzira and the Sphira, what's important for us is two things. One is that we already are told you count at night because of Tamimos. We see the first time of Shas that Tamimos had not just some nice, you know, homiletic phrase, but it has a halachic implication. Number two is, of the three things that the Gemara started off with, conceptually the Gemara has separated and created a link between Ketzira and Sephira on the one hand. Those go together. Those have to be at night. Hava is apparently something else and is going to be irrelevant to our discussion because that can actually wait until the day. So one thing we already see from the Gemara is, when are you supposed to count? Sphira Soma, when do you count? You're supposed to count at night. Now, whenever you're supposed to do something, so one of the obvious questions we have to ask ourselves is, well, what if you didn't? What if you didn't count at night? What is the halacha? Now, from this Gemara, either we don't know at all, because the Gemara didn't address it, or perhaps maybe when we be medayik, that the fact that the Gemara doesn't say you can't count during the day, maybe it's an open question. It's hard to know what this Gemara would imply. However, we don't have to guess too much, because just a few dafim later, on daf ayin aleph, Masechta Benafos, there's an explicit Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, mitzvaso liktzor balayla, the mitzvah is to harvest at night, which we already saw, and also you're supposed to do what? Nixar b'yom kosher. It didn't discuss counting now in the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us explicitly that the twin now, the connected halacha of kitzira, of harvesting, which we know goes together with counting, here the Mishnah tells us explicitly that if you forgot to harvest, let's say the Kohanim were too busy. They forgot. They had to go get the Afikoman present for the kids and they were running late. And they forgot. It was a busy Tiul day on first day Chol HaMoed for them. They forgot to do the Ksira at night. So it says the Mishnah explicitly, b'dyeved, you can do it during the day. And the implication is, if you can do the Ksira during the day, presumably you can also do the Sphira. You can also count during the day. And in fact, that's the discussion that the Gemara has in the next daf, on daf Ayin Beis. I have it right for you in the next line. Nitzar b'yom kosher, a quotation from our Mishnah. V'hatz nan, we have the following comment from a Mishnah in Masech Megillah. Ko halayla kosher l'tzirat omer. When do you have to count? When, excuse me, when do you harvest? When do you reap the crop? All night. When it said layla, it didn't mean the daf at 7 o'clock. You could reap all night. Similar to Haktaras Kalavim Be'evarim. You know, at the end of the day, the Kohanim would leave the extra fats and stuff from the day's karbonos burning on the Beis, burning on the Mizbeach. And that's also called Laila, that can go all night. And then the Mishnah and Megillah itself had a rule. Zaklal, what's the basic principle? Kal Davar Shemitzoso, Kal Hayom, Kasher Kal Hayom. Anything which is a daytime mitzvah, unless we know otherwise, in theory, it's doable any time during the day. Just to give an example, lulav. You're supposed to shake the lulav during the day. When can you shake the lulav? I have to shake it at shofar. I have to shake it in the morning. You can shake it all day. Shofar. When do you have to blow the shofar? During the day. When? Can you have it any time during the day? However, says the Gemara, quoting the Mishnah, davar shemitzvaso balayla, kasher kol laila. So too, if you have a mitzvah, a nighttime mitzvah, when do you have to do that? Any time during the night. Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. When? Doesn't have to be right after Eitzel Kochavim. Kasher. The whole night. Right? What's another example? Matzah on the Seder night. When? Anytime during the night. Okay? Matzah, we have issues of chatzos, that's a machlokes, not so clear. But generally, that's the principle, says the Mishnah. So the Gemara analyzes and says, one second. Katani laila dumya diyom. That Mishnah compared night and day. Ma diyom balaila lo. Just like the mitzvahs during the day can't be done during the night. Ach, the Lilan, the Yom, Nami Lo. So too, a mitzvah that's really a nighttime mitzvah can't be done during the day. And the Gemara, what's the implication of the question? That if the mitzvah of Ketzira, Sa'omer, is going to be a nighttime mitzvah, then it should only be a nighttime mitzvah. It should be all night. Okay? We can be liberal up to a point. All night. But L'chora, says the Gemara, based on the Mishnah Megillah, the implication is you couldn't count during the day. That's the implication of the Mishnah Megillah. Yet the Mishnah Menachos is explicit that you can do Ketzira during the day. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, simple, it's a machlokas. Amarabo, Lokasha, Harebi, Horabalazar, Shimon, and the Gemara goes on to quote the machlokas, these Tanaim, which is actually not about the topic, it's a related machlokas, which the Gemara assumes is what influences here. So the big picture now is, even though we don't have a Mishnah talking about Sefiras Omer, but the assumption, based on the original Gemara we saw, is that Sefira, counting, goes with Tzira, harvesting. And here we see the machlokas mishnayis, the machlokas tanoim. If you didn't do it when you're supposed to do it at night, with Yevid, can you make up for it? You're going to do over. Can you do it during the day? Machlokas in the Mishnah, and the Gemara says a machlokas, a fundamentally machlokas tanoim. The question, therefore, is, how do we pass it? If Tamimos, based on the original Gemara, told us we have to count during the nighttime, that's how we get Tamimos, the question is, Bidiyevid, is there any point in counting during the day? Is it one of those mitzvahs which if you don't do it at night, there's no point in doing it during the day, you don't eat matzah the next day, it's too late. Right? You can't do Kriyas Shema Arvis the next day, it's too late. So is that one opinion based on the Mishnah Megillah, the halacha by Sfira? Or do we say, no, the chachila should be done all night? But Yevin is even good during the day. The Gemara at this point, by implication, by the equation with Katsira, seems to say it's machlokas. And the question, of course, therefore is, how do we paskin? This itself is a major machlokas of Shonim, quoted in a number of places, but the most common and the most well-discussed is and analyzed are various opinions quoted in Tosafot, both in Megillah and in Masechta Menachah. So take a look at number two, where we see the basic machlokas. Says the Tosafot here, Heicha d'shakach lispor b'layla. Can happen to anybody, it does happen. You forget to count at night. Pasak Baha, the Baal Halachos Gedolos Paskins, Shesofer B'yom. The Bahag, who is very famous for the Pesach that we're going to get to in a bit, about what if you didn't count it all for a 24-hour period, but what's not as well known, the basic sheet of the Bahag is not a Chumrah. The basic sheet of the Bahag is a Kula. The Bahag Paskins, you are allowed to count during the day. You don't, it's not just at nighttime, you can count Hayom Yom the following day. However, the Tosfos continues. And that's the implication of the Mishnah which we saw above about Katsira being able to be done during the day as well. Aval Nira, a second opinion. Who argues on Rabbeinu Tam, the Bahag? Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam holds the Iker Iduch Stama, the Masisim Perakshen, the Megillah. No. Rabbeinu Tam goes not with the Mishnah in Menachos. Rabbeinu Tam feels that the primary source is the Mishnah in Megillah, which seemed to say that it has to be done at night, and therefore according to the Rabbeinu Tam, if you don't count at night, you wake up the next morning, it's too late. I'm not talking about missing 24 hours. I'm talking about just not count, missing few hours, missing 6 hours, 7 hours. You didn't count at night, you wake up the next morning, Bahag says you can still count, and Rabbeinu Tam says you cannot count. So point number one is that machlokas, a very important machlokas. Second point, which based on all of your life knowledge is probably confusing you right now. Let's bring out the elephant in the living room. Let's name the elephant, or let's name, as we say. What's the one issue which has actually been totally absent from the discussion, including in the Rishonim? Right? Everyone's thinking about the bracha. We all know we're all mishugan our whole lives about the bracha. No implication whatsoever in the Rishonim. Now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you can't count during the day, so there's nothing to talk about. But the Bahag in the Tosfos here just says, yes, you can count during the day, no problem. Apparently, and this is what other Rishonim and Achronim point out, which is not going to be our focus per se, apparently according to the Bahag, Tamimos does not mean that you have to count in the beginning of the day, i.e. the night, or else it doesn't work. Tamimos means something else apparently according to the Bahag. The Seder, no problem. But what the Bahag here is not quoted as saying anything about the Bracha. Now, if he doesn't say anything. He just says you can count during the day. Methodologically, if I had to ask you right now, what was your assumption? Does the Bahag let you count with a bracha, or is the Bahag saying no count but no bracha? What would the implication be right now?
With
bracha. No, you do well. All that growth in 1 week. Yes, you're on the ball. It's good. I would agree with all of you 100%. If the Bahag doesn't think you should make a bracha, then he should have told us. Once he says you can count, so if we don't hear otherwise, the implication of Tosfos in Menachos is that not only does the Bahag let you make a bracha, let you count, he also lets you make a bracha. Good. The problem is that there are other versions of the Bahag. There is a sefer which was eventually found. I don't know the whole history. But if you have a big yeshiva library or a big university library, a big base medrash library, it's not the average person's sfarim library, but there are people, there are base mati medrash or libraries that have a sefer. It was printed, I'm not sure how long ago, there was a manuscript that was found. There is a sefer Bahalos Gedolos. But for most people, and if I'm not mistaken, I think for many, many centuries, the Baha'i was one of those Rishonim that we only knew secondhand. Rishonim had various traditions in the name of the Baha'i. But Lav Dafka had actual Makoros in Baha'i. And therefore the Baha'i is one of those people, not only we often see quoted by it, but it's not uncommon to see the Baha'i quoted in different ways. Because we don't always have original sources from the Baha'i. But Lamaisa, the first Tosfos, the Menachos has one version of the Baha'i. The problem is that there's another Tosfos. Tosfos in Megillah, a Daf Chaf, is the source of all of the Chumras and all of the angst and upset stomachs that people have during the 7 weeks between Pesach and Shavuos. I'm not sure if they counted, they didn't count, they didn't remember. All of that, so far, we have not seen any room for, right? Other than maybe Rabbeinu Tam. But according to Baha'i, we haven't had any problems yet. All the problems, all the angst, comes from Tosfos in Megillah. There the Baha'i is quoted, Baha'i Kosov, the Hecha, the Inshi, Levarech, Belaila, Yimnalah, Machra, Belaik, Racha, Rechain Halach. So here the Baha'i is quoted as saying, you can count during the day, but you should count without a bracha. That's the first Chumrah that we have from the Baha'i. But even that's not the famous Chumrah of the Baha'i. The famous Chumrah of the Baha'i, which we have not seen addressed yet, is, what if I didn't count during the night or the day? What about tomorrow? What do I do? So here again is Tosfos is on a roll and continues by quoting Aval im shakach laila v'yom, you forget a full 24-hour period, lo yimne od v'bracha, you can no longer count the bracha, the be'inon timimos v'lech. According to this version of Rabbeinu Tam, we have to recalibrate. I just said to you not 5 minutes ago that you see from the fact that Rabbeinu Tam holds you can count during the day, that apparently he has some different understanding of Tamimos. Maybe he didn't take it as seriously as the Rabbeinu Tam took it. We see now a different understanding of the Baha'i. According to the Tosfos and Megillah's citation of the Baha'i, he took Tamimos very seriously, but he had a slightly different application than Rabbeinu Tam. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam required you to count at night, and if you don't count at night, you can't count at all because of Tamimos, the Baha'i was slightly more flexible. The Baha'i said you have to count during a 24-hour period in order to accomplish Tamimos. But once you lose the 24-hour period and not counting at all, then you are out on the Tamimos front and you can no longer make a bracha. Now, what is the implication of the Baha'i though? It's you can no longer make a bracha. But does he say not to count? What was the lashon of the Baha'i? Of the Tosfos there. Lo yimna'o. Now here, he actually says not to count at all. So this is still not what you've been taught since you're like in second or third grade, or maybe earlier, if you're really from home or school. Right? Here the Baha'i says is a purist. It's all or nothing. He's more makel than Rabbeinu Tam on the front end. You can count during the day. But if you didn't count during the day, you missed a 24-hour period, according to the Baha'i, then you are totally out. You cannot even count it all. In Rishonim, at least as of now, we have no basis whatsoever for what we're familiar with, our practice. Now, where do we get our practice from? Which is counting without a bracha during the day, but then starting over again the next day with a bracha, etc. And even if we don't, if we miss a 24-hour period, what do we always say? Can't make a bracha anymore. We should certainly count. So that is in the Shulchan Aruch. Take a look. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, some tough pay tests. Hilchos Sfiras Omer, by the way, as a separate section, does not exist in the Shulchan Aruch. Hilchos Siman Tafei Tes is in the middle of the Shulchan Aruch on Hilchos Pesach, after he talks about the Seder, then talks about Sfiras Omer, since it comes in the davening there. Take a question in 1 second. Let's just see the Shulchan Aruch. Shakach v'leibirach kalalayla. You didn't make a bracha all night. Yispor b'yom below bracha. Now who's that? Who's the Shulchan Aruch passing like? We have two questions. We have Rabbeinu Tam or the Baha'i, and we have two versions of the Baha'i. Who's the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like? Which version of who? Yisbor Biyom below Bracha. Second version of the Baha'i, right? The Baha'i in, very good, in Megillah. Im Shakach Lavarech Bechad Me'ayamim, if you miss an entire 24-hour period, Biyom Rishon Be'Mishar Yamim, doesn't matter what day, the 49, So for b'shar yamim, you should count. Still keep on counting. Below bracha, without a bracha. In Musupa Kim Dilag Yom Echad Lo Sofar, this happens to me usually at least once a year, at least. There's a given time when I'm not sure if I remembered. What do you do then, says the Shulchan Aruch? Yisko B'Shar Yamim B'Bracha. You're allowed to assume that you counted, and you can continue making a bracha. Or perhaps it's a different reason you're allowed to count with a bracha. We'll see in a second. But you're allowed to continue counting with a bracha. Now the problem with the Shulchan Aruch is that it doesn't seem to represent any of the versions of the Baha. I'm not telling you you shouldn't do what you were always taught. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. The problem is, where did the Shulchan Aruch get it from? It doesn't seem to be based on any Shita of the Baha. And I'll ask the question sharper. And now I want to transition to, all this is by way of introduction to the meat of the Shir. I'll ask the question in a sharper way. Not just where did the Shulchan Aruch get it from, but it seems to make no sense. It's a classic catch-22. What's the halachic terminology for catch-22? Emanoshah, right? Between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, if you assume, going back to the original machlokas of the Rabbeinu Tam, and the original discussion of the Gemara, based on the harvesting, day versus night, is the ketzira even kosher during the day, and memela, therefore, the counting would be kosher during the day. So if you say that there's no mitzvah during the day, and therefore, that's why there's no bracha if you don't count at night, because the real mitzvah is to count at night, and therefore since there's no mitzvah, we can not make a bracha during the day. That really sounds more like Rabbeinu Tam. And if that's the case, how does it make any sense if there was no mitzvah to count during the day, and therefore no bracha? How does counting without a bracha help to keep me in line for the next night, when the Shulchan Aruch passes, that I can not only count again, but count with a bracha? And what did I accomplish by counting during the day? If there was no mitzvah, hence no bracha, then how does that let me count the next day with a bracha? And if there was a mitzvah to count during the day, now why not let me count with a bracha? Which was the assumption of the first version of the Baha. So it's mamash a catch-22. It's mamash a mamanoshah. So in order to try to understand that question, let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number 3. Where do we get our practice from? In essence, says the Mishnah Berurah, we plead guilty. We're not really going, our practice, lamaisa in Shulchan Aruch, is not actually, in a pure sense, like any of the Rishonim. It's not really like the Bahag, it's not really like Beit Tam. What are we doing? A sort of compromise bargain. Says Mishnah Berurah, V'yesh lochush l'das ha'poskim, the Ains Man Sphira Ella Belai Luk Shmavarch Bayom Levatala, i.e. Rabbeinu Tam. We're Choshesh that maybe the Bahad, who we're always thinking of as the Machmir, but the original Pesach of Bahad was a big Kula that you can count during the day. We're Choshesh, maybe the Bahad was wrong. Maybe Rabbeinu Tam was really right and you're not allowed to count at all during the day. Therefore, we can't let you make a bracha, it could be a bracha Levatala. But then, of course, then why does counting without a bracha count at all? But if you did count during the day without a bracha, that's good enough. So for b'cholayim a bracha, lohavi kedilog yo'echad lagamri. In other words, what the Mishnah Berurah is saying is, we're not really passing like Rabbeinu Tam, we're not really passing like the Baha. We're choshesh, we're worried, maybe Rabbeinu Tam is right, so we don't make a bracha. But maybe the Baha was right. And by counting during the day, you're still in the game. And therefore, we let you continue with a bracha. This is sharpened by the Shaar Tzion. Again, just to remind you, the Shaar Tzion is written by the same author as the Mishnah Berurah. These are like the footnotes. So sometimes he gives you extra information, not just sources in the footnotes. So the first thing the Shaar Tzion tells us is, who came up with this compromise? A much later authority, the Chumash HaDeshen. The Chumash HaDeshen is one of those Mefarshim, who depending on historically where you want to draw the line, he was either the very end of the Rishonim or the very beginning of the Achronim. But he was certainly way after the Rabbeinu Tam and the Baha. But that's who the Shulchan Aruch is following. What did the Chumash HaDeshen say? So the Shaar Tzion tells you, Mishum Dehavis Sfeksteika L'chiyuva. Right? We're like a businessman, so to speak. We're covering our bases in both directions. On the one hand, said the Shaar Tzion, Suffek the Bidiyevit Sphira Bismana Kome Ace Leis. Maybe the Bahad was right to begin with, that counting is really sufficient every 24-hour period. Meir says it's a 24-hour period. Rabbeinu Tam says you only have the 12 hours, so to speak. You only have the night time. No, maybe the real one possibility is that Mahal was right to begin with. You can count for 24 hours. Then Tetzalom could ask a person named Sirbayom, and on the other hand, even if you held like Rabbeinu Tam, you can't count during the day. It's only the Bahag, anyway, who came up with this Chumrah that we saw that said, if you miss a 24-hour period, then you're out, and you can't count at all. Until that Tosus in Masechta Megillah, we didn't hear any other Rishon say that by missing a day, you can't count. And in fact, says the Chumrah Sedashin, that's because the other Rishonim disagree with the Bahag. They hold that whether you count during the day or not, which is one machlokes, but that nothing with the fact you're allowed to count the next day. So in essence, says the Shaar HaTzion, we're, so to speak, we're hedging our bets with Bahag. If the Bahag is right, then you can count during the day. And you could have even counted the bracha maybe, but he said, at least for one version, but okay, fine, no bracha. And if the Bahag is wrong, even if the Bahag is right, then you can count during the day, maybe he's wrong, we don't count the bracha. And if the Bahag, even if you hold like the Bahag, maybe we don't hold like the Bahag, in his other shita, which is that one day, if you miss, you're out. In other words, it's a hodgepodge. We're not going straight like the Bahag, we're not going straight like Rabbeinu Tam, we're somehow hedging. The problem is, the Shaar HaTzion is basically saying that this is some kind of a sex seka. But the bottom line is, you can't say we're holding like the Bahag. If we want to understand the Bahag, the Shaar HaTzion himself is not, or the Trumas HaDeshen, which the Shaar HaTzion is quoting, is actually an insufficient explanation for the Bahag. Because the whole premise was, well, maybe one day does not knock out the others. But we know that's not what the Bahag holds. In other words, bottom line is what the Shaar, let me be clear, what the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar HaTzion have done is explain our current practice. They've explained the Shulchan Aruch. That's fine. But if we take a step back, we want to understand the Bahag. The Bahag makes no sense. On the one hand, he holds you can count during the day, but, so what does that mean? Is it a bracha? Is it not a bracha? Where did he get this idea that you can't count if you miss a day? That we don't have yet. And it can't be the explanation of Shaar HaTzion, because that's based on hedging maybe the Bahag is wrong in half the story. So what we're really left with is one big question, how to understand the Bahag. And I'll ask you a second question, which is the Prima Gadim's question. The Prima Gadim asks, look at the Prima Gadim, the second line after the period. The Yesh Lahakshos. E kulhu chadim mitzvah, eich mevarchin b'chalayim. Mitzvarachim. And this is going to, I'm going to take your questions in a second, but I just want to make this point and then we'll pause for a moment. This is going to open us up for the rest of the shiur. Says the Prima Gadim, what's going on with the Bahag? The Bahag has this idea of tamimos, if I forget a day, that's it. I'm out. Well, if I'm totally out, our first question was, if I'm totally out, why do we paskin that you should still count without a bracha? If I'm out, then what does counting do? Number one. But number two is the bigger question. Why should I be out? What's the assumption of the Prima Gadim? What's the simple understanding of the Prima Gadim? What's the simple understanding of the Bahag? One big mitzvah. So if you miss part of it, no matter how many other parts you do, it's like having four-fifths of a kazayis. It's not the mitzvah. It's like davening 17 brachos of Shmona Esrei, right? It's not the mitzvah. So if the whole mitzvah requires you to do 49 brachos, 49 countings, I should say, if you miss any of it, that would explain why you're out. But says Prima Gadim, okay, fine. But I have a second question on the Rebbeinu Tam, on the Bahag, excuse me. If it's all one big mitzvah, why do we have 49 different birchos hamitzvos? Where do we have a concept? You'll tell me each one is a different thing. Well, shofar has multiple kolos. We don't make different brachos each kol. How do you understand the mamar shech? Again, if it's 49 different mitzvos, then why am I out just because I missed one? Well, I should still be able to keep on counting. And if there's one mitzvah, why am I allowed to, why do I make, 49 brachot? So it's a separate question, but it's similar, which is another way of saying, we are, I have a moment of shach, we don't know what's going on with the bahag, and that's really what I wanted to explain for the rest of this year. But let me just take, somebody had a question? You want to ask it? Yeah, I asked it. You go, so you, I'm sorry, you've been very patient.
The bahag tells us in the Megillah, you say that you don't not come with the brachot.
He says you shouldn't count anymore with a bracha. That even though the first, version of the Bahá'í did not say that, correct?
That's the same thing as Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch said that you don't listen to today, and you don't count with the
bracha. Correct. Exactly. It's like that version. My point is, but in Lomdus, it can't be. But when the Trumas Adeshin, the Shar Tzion is explaining the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, he does not give the explanation that we're following the Bahá'í. That's what's so strange. Our practice is actually a hodgepodge, it's not just the Bahá'í, at least that's the version of the Shar Tzion. Right? The Shar Tzion says explicitly, maybe the halacha is like X of the Bahá'í, but maybe it's like Y, not like the Bahá'í. That's how the Shar Tzion explains, Mr. Mishabura explains our actual psak. Okay? So what I want to do is share with you the next 10-15 minutes the highlights of a super duper duper beautiful shir. Beautiful chiddush of our salvation. Truth is, a lot of it is very similarly was also said over by Rav Zevin. You may be familiar with the name of Rav Zevin from the Sefer Mu'adzah B'Halacha. This is not in that sefer. However, you can find Rav Zevin's chiddush in a much less known sefer called Shana B'Shana, which is the yearly calendar and halachic journal that the chief rabbinate, the office of the Rav Rashi, puts out. The office of the in Hechal Shlomo, and I don't know, 20 plus 30 years ago, whatever it was, in one of their versions, Rav Zevin has a piece there. If you want to know where Rav Soloveitchik's Torah is, it's written up, I think, in at least three places. One is in the volume of Masorah Journal. One is in a shir that Rabbi Willie gave, which I actually had the chutzpah to edit. It came out in the Kol Tzvi, which was a journal of the Kol Elyon, and when they started the new Kol Elyon, Rabbi Willie gave a shir on Sfiras Omer, based on this idea of Rav Soloveitchik. And the place that I'll have it quoted for you is a third place, which is in our Shechter Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, in Siman Gimel. He also has a few subsections where he quotes it. So if you put it all together, you get some version of what we're going to have, a very, very beautiful chiddush. And what Rav Soloveitchik was machadesh is that in order to give us a glimpse into the whole sugya, we've misunderstood the Bahá'í. All of our assumptions until now have been predicated on one mistake, and if we'll turn around the mistake, not only will we understand the Bahá'í, but it will explain a number of other different shitos. The chiddush of Soloveitchik was that not only is what we're going to say true about the Bahá'í, he felt that conceptually in Lomdus, a lot of other shitos agreed with the Bahá'í, even though they disagreed with him about details, it was still based on the same premise. And let's read Rav Shechter's Lashon, where he points this out. Now, before we read Rav Shechter's Lashon, actually, let me just point out that it's explicit, at least in the Prima Gaudim, in the Mishnah Berurah, the way we have been saying it. So there's a reason we always make our assumptions about the Bahá'í, because it's already in the Mishnah Berurah, which is from the Prima Gaudim. What was it? We read it before, again, in the Prima Gaudim. Shema kulu yomei chada mitzvah. Maybe it's all one big mitzvah. Or, in the second source, the second to last source on the sheet, the Mishnah Berurah, clearly influenced by the Prima Gaudim. Mishnah Berurah, when he's saying, well, our practice, at least halfway, is because we're not sure, maybe the Bahá'í is wrong, how does the Mishnah Berurah refer to the other Shita? The Kol Yom Hu Mitzvah B'Fei Atzmo. That, oh, maybe the Bahá'í is wrong, and really, really, every day is its own mitzvah. What's the implication of the Mishnah Berurah? How does he understand the Bahá'í? It must be that the Bahá'í holds its one big mitzvah, which again is the assumption of the Prima Gaudim, which is why the Prima Gaudim is bothered. If it's one big mitzvah, why 49 brachos? That's the standard understanding. I had it for my whole life until I heard the Shir from Soloveitchik, and you'll find it in almost every sefer. It goes back to the Prima Gaudim, Mishnah Berurah. It's biased everyone. That the assumption that the Bahá'í holds is one big mitzvah, that's why if you forget one day, you're out. Comes along Soloveitchik, and this is in a Shechter citation in Eretz HaTzvi, and says the following. Ein zeh. End of the first line. You shouldn't destroy the kol mem tes haspiros chadam mitzvah akim zeh zeh. It's not because the Baha'i Shita is not because it's one big mitzvah. Ella haytime, or rather, the reason of the Baha'i is the sphira ba'inen retzifus behem shechiyut. Or in English, as we would say, continuity. In order for a count to be meaningful, two is only a meaningful number if it's in a context. It follows one. Three what? Oh, it's only meaningful if there was a one in the two, then three follows. The imlo mana, turn over the page. Yud Zayin, for example, let's say you didn't count 17. Heich yocho limno filches. How can you count 18? Heyos v'kfar pasak min yano. Once you've missed 17, yefshar lispor yudches. Miblish yispor tchilu yudzayin. 18, what do you mean? I didn't count yesterday. There was no 17. If there's no 17, what's 18 in the middle of nowhere? Today is 18. From what? Well, 18 days since the baseball season started. I mean, the number in itself is a complete irrelevant fact. Saying 18 out of nowhere means nothing unless yesterday was 17. You need continuity in order to give meaning to the count, says Rav Soloveitchik. And therefore, that's the reason for the Baha'i, that if I missed one day, I can't count the next day. Well, Enoch Hanami concludes, Rav Shechter, Shesfiras Halayla V'Layla, he missed with Ne'atma. Even the Baha'i holds that there's 49 different mitzvos. That's not the reason why one day messes you up. One day messes you up because even though there are 49 different mitzvos, but they're connected. They may not be twins. They may not be identical twins, but they're at least cousins. Each mitzvah of counting, 49 separate mitzvahs. But it's not like separate, the way Sfiras Omer is separate from Shofar, which is separate from Tefillin. Each one of these 49 separate mitzvahs build on the previous independent and separate mitzvah. Because there's no meaning to one without the other. The only one that's independent is the first day. But every day after the first day, and we'll see in a moment, one shita that distinguishes between the first day and everything else. And we can understand why. But other than the first day, says the Rav, the Baha'i says every other day only has meaning, even though it's independent. But it doesn't stand on its own. It's independent, but it only has independent meaning if it has the continuity, if it's coming after a day before. And therefore, he understands, that's the issue with the bracha. Yes, even according to the Baha'i, we count 49 times. Because there's 49 different mitzvahs. It's just that even though he holds those 49 different mitzvahs, we can't count one if we had missed the one before that. Okay? And we had asked, again, the Marashah, if according to the Baha'i, missing a whole day, if it's all one big mitzvah, then what's the point of the counting the next day? Which may or may not be a version of the Baha'i, but logically it doesn't make any sense. He says, no, it does make sense. Because once you miss continuity, once you miss the day, then it doesn't make any sense, then you're out. Okay? Now again, all of this is the Baha'i. And Akadami, there are other Shitas who say that Tmimus doesn't mean this at all. The other Shitas, which go back to the Gemara already, say that Tmimus means count in the nighttime. Count right away. Count as soon as possible. That's Tmimus. Right? There's a whole discussion, Shkia, Tseis, and there's some Rishonim who say you should count as soon as possible, maybe even err on the earlier side, because with the first time, the minute the night comes in, we want to have counted. That the whole 24-hour period should have been counted. Some say that's what Tmimus is. That's a different story. In the Baha'i, that is Rav Soloveitchik's understanding of his chumras, both the chumras and the gulas. And now we'll see, the rest of the shiur, I want to show you four or five other examples, either in the Baha'i or in other Rishon. This is the brilliance of this idea of Rav Soloveitchik, is that he's so convinced that it's true, that even if the Baha'i is one who holds it in the most extreme form, there are echoes, there are other examples of this same idea in other discussions in halakha. So I alluded to one of them, let's start with it right away. Can we distinguish between different nights? The Baha'i doesn't. But logically, what did we allude to, what I hinted at already? That maybe the first night is different than the others. Who says that? Not the Baha'i, although it also ends with a gimel, but the Rasab, of Sajjagon. Of Sajjagon is quoted both by the Sefer Achinuch and by the Tur in Siman Tov Hei Tes, that if you forget any of the days, even if you've missed a 24-hour period, said Rav Sajjagon, no problem. Count the next day with a bracha, no problem. However, said the Sadrigon, Chutz Milayla Harishon, Shimshakach Lo Birechbo, Shlo Yivarechod. You're only out. You can only get in trouble with the bracha, says Rav Sadigon, if you miss the first day. But any other day, no problem, keep on counting. But if you miss the first day, then there's a problem. Now what's the logic, mehechetesi, to distinguish? After all, if we use the prima gadim understanding, it's all or nothing. Either you hold this 49 different mitzvos, so then any, without, with no one mitzvah, the rest fall. What's the difference if I forget number 19 or number 1? And on the other hand, if I hold this all one big mitzvah, what's the difference? So Salvation is brilliant. It only makes sense according to his mahal. It's a variation on the Baha. That Rav Sadrigon agrees that the whole idea is 49 separate mitzvahs. It's just that there needs to be continuity. Said the Rav Sadrigon, but don't be such an extremist, Rabbi Bahag. One, as long as I get day one, as long as I start the stopwatch, I start day one, then even if I miss a subsequent day, I've already created the context. It does have meaning. What's 18? I didn't count last night. Yeah, but I counted one, and one already sets the tone. So I know this is 18. So I'm finding I can go back to the one. In theory, exactly, 100%. As long as you started the context. It's an automatic thing. Once you hit the domino, it's all going. If you miss the first one, you can't get off the mat. Well, it's b'di'evit, it would work. B'di'evit, he would say you can make a bracha both times. Exactly right, exactly. It's a fascinating sheet of Sadigon, which makes no sense, as far as I can tell, unless you understand him as a variation of Bahag and later of Salvation. Let me tell you another one, and then I'll take a question. Another Gaon. Just stay with the theme, you know what I mean? The Bir Halacha quotes Rav Haigon with the following. Take a look, again, the second source there in that section. For Rav Haigon, O Tiris, Heched Ishla Yom Echad, Yisbor Balel Sheni Shte Sfiros. No, Mashach Siri Shani Omer Besfir Shnia, Mo Haya Echad Baomer, Vyom Adin Shrei Baomer. Wild, huh? You ever hear this sheet? I never tell you this one. You miss the day, whether it's day one or day 31. The next night, what do? Boruch! Right? The Gar told you, Shakol Yihirason, Lahari Mechma Mazumin, Hashem Yichud, and then you say, yesterday was 28, and today is 29.
So yes,
no? Yes, that's what Haigon Shita. Now obviously we don't pass in this way. The Bir Halacha says, Lo Yodu Lo Chaverev, nobody accepted this suggestion. But we have to understand Rav Haigon. And again, says Rav Salvation beautifully, this was in the water, and Bahag, Rahag, Rasag, it's all variations of the same thing. If you hold it, what's necessary is the continuity. So each one of these shitas is trying to figure out what's enough to keep the continuity. Rav Haigon pushes the envelope in one direction. Rav Haigon says, as long as I, even though I'm not getting a mitzvah, this is a chiddush of Rav Haigon, even though I don't get a mitzvah when I say tonight, yesterday was X, but I did enough to keep myself in the game. By saying that, I've created the continuity so that when tonight I'm ready to plug into my mitzvah, my number has meaning because I told you what yesterday was. So in that sense, Rabbi Nahagon agrees with the Bahag that I can only count one day if I counted the day before. But says Rav Haigon, you can accomplish that even without a mitzvah. Even though I get no mitzvah for counting tonight that yesterday was X, but it gives me at least one thing. It gives me the continuity to allow to fulfill the mitzvah of tonight. Since we're running late and I want to get to feel the nakuminas, let me say them and then I'll stay after for anyone who has questions. So that was our third proof in addition to the Bahag. We had Rav Sadrigon and now we had Rav Haigon. Take a look at the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch quotes the Bahag, and even though in Shulchan Aruch we're machmir, we pass like the Bahag, the Sefer HaChinuch points out that this chumrah, we're all familiar with it, if you miss the 24-hour period, you can't count any more of the bracha. That was really only a chiddush of the Bahag. That was never the original debate between our Bahag and the Rabbeinu Tam. That's not the original issue in the Gemara with the Katsira. That was a chumra that somehow got brought in later versions of the Bahag. And the Sefer HaChinuch quotes, he doesn't quote him by name, the Sefer HaChinuch quotes those who say if you miss a day, you can no longer count. And the Sefer HaChinuch assumes, by the way, that it's based on an assumption of Kula Mitzvah Achasi, like that Prima Gadim we've been seeing. And then when he continues, says the Sefer Chinuch at the end, he says, I disagree. I hold Misha Shakach Yom Echad, even a person who forgot one night and one whole day. Yomar Emesh Hayukach below Bracha. He starts off by saying, a little high going action, yesterday was so and so without the Bracha. Umone Ha'acherim Im Kol Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik, this is Dafka quoted by Rav Soloveitchik, he says, what is the Im Kol Yisrael that the Chinuch adds? Of course the whole Jewish people are counting tonight's 30, 31, 32. So what? Why does the Chinuch add that? All the Chinuch is basically saying is, I disagree with the Baha'is. Let him say that. Let him say, I agree with Rabbeinu Haigon if that's what he holds. Why does he add, it seems gratuitous, the Im Kol Yisrael? So Soloveitchik thought, perhaps, that this was the Chinuch accepting the lomdus of the Baha'i, but so to speak, beating him at his own game. The lomdus of the Baha'i is you need continuity. So says the Chinuch in essence, you know how I have continuity? You said I can't count out of nowhere without a context. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, you know where I get my continuity from? Im Kol Shar Yisrael. You know where my context is? I'm part of the Jewish people. If out of nowhere, in the middle of May, a person just starts saying, today is 7 days until the baseball season, 7 days after the baseball season, 7 days until Kaitzman is over, 7 days until the Rebbe goes away, 7 days what? But I'm not in a context, says the Sefer HaChinuch. The whole Jewish people is counting. So I didn't count 18 last night. But Shar Kol Yisrael did. And therefore, I can be, in essence, plugging into that counting when I count the next day. In other words, even the Sefer HaChinuch, who might argue, we don't understand Pasuk like the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch is more makel. He says you can, you know, the other extreme is the Baha'i. But that's how elastic or adaptable, says the Rav Soloveitchik, tried to make his Chiddush. Then even the other extreme, that says if you miss a whole 24-hour period, you can even count the next day with a bracha. Why? Same principle though. It's based on this continuity. Numbers can't come out of context. But the Chinuch held that being part of the Jewish people gives you the context. Because the Jewish people is counting, therefore the counting has meaning. We're almost done. And that is the following. First of all, the Beis Yosef, you know what? I'm going to leave. There's something with the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham. It's a little bit late. I'm going to leave that. I'm going to leave that, and I'm just going to do the last two. Bir Halacha, and then Eretz Yitzchak to finish it off. The Bir Halacha quotes a big machlokes achronim with the Nodeb Yehuda and others. Nevuch, Rachmona Letzlan, let's say somebody has a relative die. Before the funeral, before the kura, what are you called? Not an avel, but an... Do you do mitzvahs when you're an onin? So what happens if you lose a relative during the middle of Sira? And because you're an onin, you couldn't count that day. Are you out the next day? Or can you keep on counting with a bracha? So this is a big discussion. The Bir Halacha quotes here, discussion from Yoredeya. So first of all, some poskim hold that you, even when you're an onin, you can count. And that's supposed to do mitzvahs, which are very involved, because they distract you from the kvura. But maybe just counting, it takes 3 seconds, someone thinks about it. So some say you could count even when you're an onin. Others say, even with it, it's not all mitzvahs. But, and others say, ooh, if I don't hold like that, maybe I can rely on it. And yet there's this other shita, which is the first one the Bir Halacha quotes, who is the Nahar Shalom, not such a well-known Afron, who says, no, you're out. Sorry, you're out. You missed the day, the Bahag, you missed the day, you're out. What's the difference? Why? So back and forth, back and forth. Lamaisa, Seder of Soloveitchik, I hold that the Onain can count without a bracha. It's not a mitzvah. He doesn't do mitzvos. But he counts just for the sake of continuity. Just like, in a sense, Rabbi Haigon had said, you can count today. Yesterday was this and today. Even though yesterday wasn't a mitzvah. But even without a mitzvah, I have continuity. So too said the Rav. In this case, even though there's no mitzvah when I'm an onin, I should still count just to give me the continuity. And as a result, mimela, the next day when I'm chuyiv again, I can count for the mitzvah. In a much more positive, happy way, Rav Shechter quotes Rav Soloveitchik as explaining the flip side in terms of the life cycle, which is the famous bar mitzvah question. Right? Who here was ever at a bar mitzvah when the bar mitzvah boy spoke about what do they do? Who here gave that speech as the bar mitzvah boy? Sort of. Right, it's a very big discussion, right? A bar mitzvah boy becomes a bar mitzvah in the middle of Sira. So midaraisa, he was a katan, he wasn't really mechuyev until the middle. So would you say, if we're machmir according to the Bahag, that you have to be counting the whole time, maybe since I was counting it not as a chiyuv before the bar mitzvah, maybe I can't start counting that with a bracha. That's the famous discussion which people speak about in the bar mitzvahs, yes or no. And it goes back and forth. So leave aside all the discussions, there's an Avnei Nezer, the Minchastilah, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Says Rav Shechter, quoting the Rav, he held, again, he analyzed this question through the prism of his lumbus. And Lahavdil, just like on the other extreme, with the Onein, said the Rav, when the bar mitzvah boy becomes 13, he can count with a bracha, as long as he had been counting until now, as well. Until now he was a kafan, he wasn't mechuyav. So the Rabbeinu Chanami, maybe as a bar chiyuva, he didn't get any mitzvahs, so to speak, for that. They were just chinuch. Well, what did all that counting do before his bar mitzvah give him? Even if it didn't give him mitzvah, it gave him continuity. And therefore, when he hits 13 on day 48, he's not coming out of nowhere. His counting with a bracha on day 48 has context based on the continuity that it's working off of before then. I'll tell you one other story, which I heard from Rabbi Willig when he told the shir that I edited. He told over a certain very prominent rabbi who was sure, he had a premonition already at the Seder, he wasn't going to live till Shavuos. And from the beginning, he did not count with a bracha. He counted without a bracha. I think the PS is he died before Shavuos. But Rabbi Willig pointed out after the fact, he didn't mix it at the time. He said after the fact, according to Rav Salavitchik, the whole chesed was a mistake. That was all based on the Prima Gadim's understanding of the Bahag, that if you're not going to, that it's all one big mitzvah, and by missing in the middle, retroactively you made brachos lobatala, etc., etc. But if you understand the Bahag way the Rav did, then even the Bahag is more than the 49 separate mitzvahs. So we've had shaylos what to do if you missed. But certainly until you miss, there's no reason, even if you're going to miss, nothing. That, the only question is, can you make up for what you missed going forward? But certainly until you miss, there's no reason not to keep on counting. Another discussion which is quoted in postgame is, some like an onein, so to speak, well, somebody, someone knows, they know they're going to have surgery. They know they're going to be out of it, you know, for a day or two. So do you stop? Should you not even start with a bracha? Right? I know we were with somebody for Pesach, and they were right after Pesach having major knee surgery. Now, I don't know if he was at it for 24 hours or not, but it's possible. A guy really, Shanel of Kapitara Shrapa. So he had major knee surgery. So, in theory, it's the same shot as the post-skim. Maybe there's more than one. What's the difference? And I didn't ask him what he did for Sira. But he has the same shot the post-skim discussed. If you know you're not going to be able to count beforehand, at some point in the middle, what happens? What happens before that? And I'll give you one last point, which is my own ha'ara, was that there's a Mishnah Berurah, somewhat controversial perhaps, the Mishnah Berurah says that women shouldn't start counting with a bracha. Because since they don't daven with Marv and Tzibur, they're more likely than men to forget, and then it'll be a bracha levatala. Catch that? Exactly. There's a lot of reasons that people disagree with that Mishnah Berurah. But I thought you could for sure disagree with the Mishnah Berurah based on everything we've been saying. Because the whole premise of that Mishnah Berurah, l'shitaso, the whole premise of that Mishnah Berurah is it's all one big mitzvah, and since we're machmir for the Bahag and everything else, we should be machmir for the Bahag, and then he makes his assumption about women, which is anyway debatable. But the point is, you don't have to come on to that. Forget the women. The whole assumption of the Mishnah Berurah is that the Bahag held this one big mitzvah. But based on what we're saying, that's actually a mistake from the beginning. So bottom line is, got a lot of Mar Makamos, a lot of Nafkaminas, but only have to remember one idea. Continuity, 49 separate mitzvahs, you need context, and you need continuity. Have a good Shabbos.